Our ditch is out there, and we have to pick it up and haul it to another site. It's much more convenient if it's hauled to a site, a collection site. I don't know if he liked the answer or not, but anyway, we're very pleased to be able to do this, and it's very much to Mario's credit. I can tell you that he has a heart for his community. This Petersburg means a whole lot to him. It's more than just a town. It's part of who he is and part of who Susie is. So if there's a problem there, it's a problem for him too. And we're very glad to be able to do this and have this privilege to help y'all out. We'll probably take a little crap about it, but yeah. Add it to the list. That's really all I have to say. We have it. It's already been approved. It's in the budget. It's a done deal. The way we set it up, we felt like it would work the easiest for Mario to put it in his budget, and then Mario will work with whatever contractors that he feels give the best deal, and he'll arrange for that, for them to come pick up the roll-off containers, and they'll send the bill directly to the county at Precinct 2, and we'll pay for it. Do y'all have any questions?
I'll add, Judge, that when this all started, you know, I did tell Susie that I felt like we could help. So the next day, I talked to you and I talked to Ron, and, you know, I kind of, you know, I didn't want to run the council business. I just thought that we could help in this way and present it to Judge and to Ron, and we all agreed that this was probably a big blessing for us. Yesterday in court, we went ahead and created the line item, moved the money to Precinct 2, so everything's ready to go. So I had thought after tonight, tomorrow, I'll call the individual that Ron and I talked about to start bringing some of those dump-offs, and we'll start getting this stuff hauled off. I don't know what $20,000 will do as far as for a year, but it'll knock a lot of it out.
Yeah. Be a real good start.
Yeah.
Be a
good start. What we did discuss is possibly this continuing for 2 or 3 years till we get this thing moved back down. And we'll still take our loads out pursuant to our budget, and then with the county's help, hopefully we can knock a big dent in this thing in a hurry.
In fact, that's the way I presented to the commissioners, just for 2 years, $20,000 this year, $20,000 next year. So hopefully we can clean it up. And then, you know, but it's, I hadn't told judges, but it's something I think we need to continue doing. Not the $20,000, but I think we need to go back. I think we give the other cities like $5,000 a year. So I think it's only fair that we continue to support Petersburg in that way, because, you know, y'all all know we used to have Petersburg clean up there at the county. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. That really helped. Because once we shut that down, then everything shifted over here. So, you know, I think we'll just keep working hand in hand, and we'll get it done.
And my understanding and the way we presented it to the commissioners is for the first couple of years, it's probably going to take a pretty large effort, the $20,000. But we have two other sites that we do in other parts of Hale County that are out in the county, so there's no reason why, justifiable reason why we would say, no, we shouldn't do it there. And even Commissioner King has, we've talked several times about the possibility of putting a couple up in his precinct, probably in Seth Ward. I don't know how we're moving along with that. There's been a couple of things hang up. We're afraid dead bodies might be in there. I mean, it's kind of a rough place over there, but it's something that we've been doing for longer than I've been on the board in other areas. So and one of the ways we present it, if you want to look at it like that, we've got almost $10,000 a year in the budget for those other two.
I've done budget 23 times, so we've getting nearly $250,000 just for
so
that.
So we're a little behind on that if we want to equalize out. So nobody had, there was no objection on the commissioners. There was no negative comment. They just
good.
Okay.
Good deal. Good deal.
And I want to thank the judge and Mario. They invited
yes.
me to come up
so
and make
too,
a presentation to the commissioners court, which allowed at their work session to go forward on this. And as we'll talk later, it's going to prevent us from having to make any other massive rate increase.
Good.
Yes. Thank you.
We are thrilled.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so
much
for the help.
You're welcome.
And Judge, anytime.
takes a team effort. That's all it is.
Well, you know, the important thing for me is that one of the reasons why we been able to do some of the things that we've done since I've been in office is not because of things that I've done, but because partly of the attitude of getting with the city, the Economic Development Corporation, the Hospital Authority Board, the Airport Board, the people who are on the various boards of the stock show stuff at the Ollie Liner Center and other cities, and say, okay, how can we get together and pool our resources and make it better for everybody? And when you do that, we serve the same citizens. So it kind of carries through the whole attitude of these are our constituents as well. Your problems are our problems. Obviously, there's a difference between the city and the county. There always will be, and necessarily so. We operate under different statutes. But also, we have some common goals. And that's what we need to focus in on, is those things that we share, problems we share in common, and how can we work on those solutions together. And one of the things that I probably shouldn't say, but I just got to say, my wife tells me I don't have to say everything that pops in my head. I know I don't have to, but I like to. I want you to know I'm not down here just because I'm running for re-election right now. I've been at Petersburg 5 times to play music and help out at the Petersburg Day, and we've had other things down, and I was at the Chamber of Commerce today, and I told him this is not something that just happens to happen when I'm running for office. I'm happy to come down here anytime. And we had a little meet and greet at Porter Drug, and I told Mario we ought to do this once a quarter, as long as people, just come down, sat down, brought some donuts. We ate donuts, and we just shot the breeze for about an hour and a half, and it was good. I enjoyed it. I think the people who were there enjoyed it.
That's good.
And it was the right thing to do.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
Thank you again.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes. Also, Sheriff David Cochran is here, and he has worked on another item to help us out that I'm going to let him address and speak to you about, that he also needed Commissioner's Court approval and support for.
How are y'all doing tonight? I'd like to commend Brandon, the police chief. I've got to know him over the last 2 years. We've worked with each other. He's helped us out. We've helped him out. We've got a good working relationship. You know, I've got Zane down here. I appreciate them two working together. We had a pursuit come down through here a few months ago, and Brandon kind of lost a car. I'm in a position right now. I'm trading in 3 vehicles. I've got 3 new vehicles. With y'all's permission and y'all's agreement, I would like to give the Petersburg PD a 2013 pickup. It's got 119,000. All the equipment minus the radio in exchange for whatever car Brandon picks, the sorriest car out there. In exchange for that, I just appreciate Brandon so much for helping us. Y'all are a long ways down here. Sometimes it takes us a while to get down here. He's more than welcome. He helps us tremendously. So with y'all's approval, the commissioners have approved it, I'd just like to trade vehicles with you.
I might add is the vehicle we have selected is a 2008 Crown Victoria with 200,000 plus miles on it. The odometer quit working at 170 3 years ago. And this is a tremendous help for us, and hopefully maybe down the road we can do this till we can upgrade our fleet. And we're very appreciative of the effort that you've taken and the commissioner's
report. Taxpayers' money bought that pickup. It's still being used by the taxpayers. Nobody's hurt. I'm losing a little money off of it, but I'm good with that. Right. As long as Brandon can help me and we can work together, I'm great with that.
Now, the timing is, the sheriff is indicating the vehicle might be ready within a week. We did not have time to put it on the agenda. So what I'm going to ask is, if I hear no objections, I will execute the paperwork that Jim Tyree creates and the title transfers. What happens is our vehicle goes to the county, it goes up on auction, they get the proceeds from it, we get the exchange vehicle in place. And then I'll ask you to formally ratify it at the next council meeting. If I have no objections.
No.
Well, let me tell you something. This is very much in the best interest of not only public safety, but the safety of our sheriff's deputies. if they come down here on a pursuit, this is really the most remote part of the county that y'all have to cover. And wherever they're coming from, it's about a 20 or 25 minute trip. Mm-hmm. And if they're hollering for backup and somebody has to come 25 minutes, it could mean someone's life. So right. This is something that's very much in the Sheriff's Department interest, in our best interest too, to do this. And we'll probably, we would expect at auction maybe about $10,000 for that truck, and we'll probably get $1,000 or $1,500 for that other car. So we'll net out an expense of maybe $8,500, $9,000, and compared to one of our deputies' lives or a citizen's life that's out there, that's yeah. negligible.
Yeah, that's right. Very true. Very true.
We are humble and very appreciative.
That's yes, true. Thank yes, you. We are.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's great.
And because we know you have other things to do, you are free to
thank
leave
you,
or
sir.
To stay as you wish.
Thank you, okay. Thank you for having
well,
me.
Well, I'll just say, does anybody have any questions of us before we cut out?
Is there more?
No.
And I want to let y'all know that I continue to be available to come down for public presentations or meet with a group like we did at Porter Drug or any other place you want to mention. We'll come down here. My schedule is pretty tight. I have about 1,300 cases filed in my court a year, so we're in court a lot, but we're not in court every day. And so give just a little bit of foresight and planning. We can get down here. I told Mario I'd like to make it a regular habit to come down once every 3 months and visit. We might go to different groups, but it would be nice to sit down even with one of the times we come down with city council and just let y'all, we'll talk about our mutual problems, maybe
that'd
some mutual
great.
Solutions.
Yeah, that would be really good.
Well, thank you for what you do. I know I get paid very well for my service, and I know I think you should vote to double all of y'all's salaries.
Thank you. Yes, I think that's
here.
A good idea.
I know that's in the budget, but I appreciate what the city council's doing, that they serve without any pay to get their job done, and that's very, very important to the citizens, what y'all do. And, you know, when you think about how special it is to be able to be self-governed, most people in the world don't have that. So
exactly.
We're very fortunate in this country to be able to do that. And hopefully we can continue to forge working relationship going forward that's beneficial to everybody.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you. Let's get out of here.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank
you,
Judge.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you, Mario.
Is that his jacket?
Thank you, Mario. That's Mario's jacket. Thank you, Sheriff. He's talking to Brandon. Okay, moving on to item 3 on the agenda, and that's our 2016-2017 fiscal year audit presented by Terry and King CPAs.
He's sitting out here.
He's trying to get out of the way. Yeah.
Y'all ready for me already?
Yes, sir.
Can I sit here? No
you
one's
sure
here?
Can. Sure. You might have to
apologize for being lazy.
Pop up if Councilman Porter shows up.
So. Maybe I'll do it real quick so that.
At this time of the day, we all need to sit.
Yeah. As always, we really appreciate the opportunity to come out and work with you and your city. Like what's going on out here. Heard all that there. I wrote down the audit adjustments for the trade on the vehicles for this coming fiscal year. We'll go ahead and have that entry ready.
Well, it's a good night to do it then, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. You've got an audit report in front of you. I'm really going to hit the highlights, if that's okay. Again, we enjoy coming out here. Always available for you if you have questions.
And if you have more after you look at this, you can give us a call, come by, or have us come back out, and we'll answer any questions that you've got. You'll see on page 2, there's a letter from us to the mayor and the council. It just says we have audited the accompanying financial statements, and they present fairly the financial position, the results of operation of the city of Petersburg. So a clean opinion. And, of course, we wouldn't anticipate anything else. Your staff out here, Kayla, does you such a great job. Makes it easy for us. So it's really good working with her. I didn't mess up anything at your desk while I was in. I thought about it. But then I knew you'd know who it was. So
yes.
So following the letter, we've got what becomes the management's discussion and analysis, and we go through some points about the finances of the city, and there's a lot of good information in there. But on page 7, you see a table A1, and this presents the assets of the city in one place. It does it in a little different fashion than what we're used to, but it's a good thing to look at, really, and just show the change, you know, from one year to the other. It's what we call government-wide financial statements, and so everything's put together. Assets are on the balance sheet. Other than, you know, when we normally do governmental funds, we just pay for assets as we go along. You can see current assets are down a little bit, but overall total assets, they're towards the middle of the page. You can see total assets, $2,565,000 to $2,540,000, and overall assets are up except for the depreciation that we have. Uh-oh.
No, you're fine. Sit around.
No, you don't want your chair?
No, you got a good chair. Okay.
You're not going to thump me, are you? Then you can see down there your equity, total net position, an increase from $2,231,000 to $2,326,000. So while there's some adjustments and other things in here, this is really what we'd say a business position of the city. Following that, on page 8, we've got the same thing where we're looking at program revenues, expenses, and just overall the income of the city, again, in everything, you know, a government-wide situation. You can see total revenues down from $1,566,000 to $1,099,000, but expenses are also down, and that's due to some grant revenues in the previous year. But overall, you can see the increase in net position of $95,259. And of course, that's always Ron's question. How did we do? We did okay. But there's some other places I'll look at where we look at the true cash as we go along. And the basic financials start on page 12, and you've got this statement of net position is the same information that we looked at on table A1 in a little more detail. Exhibit B1 on page 13 is the same thing that we looked at on A2. What I want to get to is on page 16, your exhibit C2. Now, typically, you know, before some changes we had a few years ago, all we did was we looked at the government in the same way that you budget and do your work, which is good. What I always thought, and what I always thought the federal and state government should do as well. Money in, money out. So we've got two parts to the city, the governmental side, which is streets and the police and, you know, the general government. And then you've got your enterprise side, which is water and sewer, where you sell you know, to make profit to help the city, you know, pay for things like streets that the taxes don't cover. So what we've got on C2, we're just looking at the revenues in and out that have to do with the government. So you can see total revenues for the year, $533,000, less expenditures of $669,000, so a decrease of $136,000. And this is normal because, you know, in small cities, we don't have enough tax value to cover the basic services that we provide for our citizens, so that's where water and sewer comes in. So you see there the transfer in, $141,000 from water and sewer. And this is typical. Now, if we look at then D2 on page 19, this is the revenue and expense side for water and sewer. And you can see total operating revenues, which is use charges, $334,000. The expenses for operations, $260,000. For operating income of $73,000. We've got a capital contribution from the CDBG grant of $235,000, and then transfers out to general, leaving it at $93,000. So change in net position, $167,000 overall. And then if you just look at cash on the next page, page 20, we look at a cash flow statement. So this breaks it down just like that exhibit C2, where it's just the cash in and out. And you see part of that increase that we had, a lot of it coming from the grant proceeds, we ended up with a net decrease in cash of $26,000. And then, of course, back over on C2, we had an increase of $4,909 on page 16. So I like to look at those two schedules particularly because they just tell you what happened. You know, where did our cash go? So overall, cash went down just a little bit. But with that said, we can go over to the footnotes and look at what you did in the water and sewer fund. We've got an increase in your capital assets that you took out of your pocket, basically. And we can go over there now. Find that page. So page 31 is the general fund assets, which there was no increase in those. You see there, no big capital assets. We just have the depreciation computation that's used in the government-wide. But on page 32, you see additions of $263,000. $244,000 of that is the construction that's in process on your water improvement. $19,000 was a couple of pumps and some lifts. So there's $263,000 and your cash decreased $20-something thousand. So just to point out that this is doing well.
A good trade-off.
This is good. This is good.
And the $20-some thousand, I might point out, is essentially our part of the grant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Our match.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, without the... you know, the purchase and the grant, you know, the portion that came in this year from the grant was only $150,000. So basically, you would have added $70,000 in cash this year. So that's good. And you need years that you're doing projects that you spend down cash, and then you need years where you add cash back up. It's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I know citizens don't like paying increased rates and don't like this and that, but we all like to have services. We all like to have our streets free from potholes, which unfortunately your county judge was not my county judge, and I would have liked to talk to my county judge about the potholes going out to my house. But I never see that he goes to a meeting that I can get to, so I think maybe that's a positive that y'all got going on there as well. Any questions? Yeah. Is that a pretty good, pretty clear? Following that, you know, there's more information in the notes. A lot of good information on page 34. We've got a comparison to the budget on the general fund, which that's all just perfect. Page 35 is a breakdown of the tax collections. You see you started with people owing you $20,000, had a levy of $234,000, collected $239,000, ended up with $17,000 owed, so over 100% collection. Following that, we've got another letter on page 36 and 37 that just talks about that. We also look at rules and regulations, and even though we try to catch Ron breaking rules, we didn't this year, maybe next year.
Got to get up earlier in the morning.
I know. Kayla, we know, is always going to be perfect.
There you go.
Thank you.
The one
say that a little louder.
Yeah.
That'd be husband out there?
Yes. Yeah. Nathan's out there.
The one thing I think important, again, to remind council, we have no debt. We've incurred no debt. And with being able to increase assets through grants, and whether it be cash assets or other physical assets, is just a tremendous place to be in without incurring any debt.
It is. It's one thing that we... Well, I'd go with counsel, but Ryan says I preach. I don't know why, but I guess I do kind of preach that. You know, in our small towns, we need to be really careful about, you know, y'all have built a good fund balance. You've got to protect it because it's hard to build it. You know, a lot of that was built years ago.
Yes.
And we don't really have the opportunities in the current economic climate. Whether it's a small city, a small school, you know, anywhere in our rural communities here in West Texas, we've got to be real careful not to incur debt, to try to save up money that we're going to use to get grants. And y'all are doing a great job of that. So keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron.
I think Ron is diligent at making sure that we try to borrow from paper and pipe all as much as we can.
Yeah, and you know what most people don't think about is our assets are declining each year because sewer lines get older, water lines get older. Depreciation is a real thing. And so if we can get grants and improve our infrastructure back up, that's what I'm looking for.
I think that's great.
Especially in the water sewer area,
because
which
that's
is a
what would
big
take
revenue
us down. You know,
item.
And it's a good thing to get grants and also not to try to do it all at once. You get a grant, do that. You know, what we've seen in the past, not here, but, you know, in some other places where they come in and they say, oh, well, we haven't done this. Let's do it all. Hmm. Well, you know, then that digs into your fund balance. And you think, well, we'll put the fund balance back. It's hard to do. Hard to do anymore.
When we apply for grants and stuff, do they look at our finances?
Yes, they do.
Real closely, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
And
that's a factor, how much we get.
This, what y'all been doing is a factor in how you got the CDBG grant. It really is. They want somebody that they can see is going to be a good steward of their money. So they grade you on all of that.
Okay.
As Ron could tell you, it's kind of an interesting process.
It gets frustrating by the time you get to the end of it with all the paperwork. But
yes, and the multiple requests for the same thing in different format. And you just got to keep from sending a nasty email.
You're right.
I've given that to you three times already. But let me try to do it one more time in another format, on another form.
There.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
So you always have to be really nice.
Yep.
Just right. Smile.
Just smile.
And sign one more form.
Sign one more.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that report.
You bet.
Be safe.
I will. And again, we appreciate y'all very much. anything that we can do, please call us. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item 4 on the agenda, and this is our public comments section. And just as always, I just want to remind y'all that y'all are limited to 3 minutes. We will hear you out with whatever you need, whatever opinion you have. As long as it's not a personal attack on any of the members or any of our city staff, we do have a procedures for that. So with that being said, I open up the floor for public comments. If there are no public comments, I will close this section, this part of the agenda. And we'll move on to item 5 on the agenda, and that's our reports, leading off with Chief Thurman. Is he out there? Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. We had 22 calls of service for this month, or last month. We had 6 warnings and 4 citations for last month. Also, I provided in your packet the Rushville profiling report. I have to do yearly, every year, to comply with the code.
How's your new guy doing? Pretty good?
Pretty good.
He seems to be doing good. Good. I forget his name.
Sean.
But like Brandon may need to advise you, he's given his notice, so we only have him about another week and a half.
Thursday's his last day.
Thursday. After tomorrow, Thursday.
Is he taking another position somewhere?
He's taking a position over at Abernathy.
Where he has several fellow classmates that he graduated with working.
Oh, but we still have our weekend FM is still here.
So we'll start the process as soon as he leaves again?
I've already started process already, so I've contacted all the colleges to let the new recruits coming out know about these jobs. I've contacted Lubbock Police, Lubbock SO Academy. We've got a post over there. Anybody comes in, takes a look at it, and so on the board. Took in all measures to be able to get us into the office.
Put in a bug in Sheriff Cochran's ear and see if maybe some one of his guys wants to.
Yes,
I thought he'd quit stealing ours.
Yeah. There
you go. There you go. Well, that's true.
That would be for sure.
Okay, any questions for Chief Thurman? If there are no questions, then we'll move on. Thank you, Chief Thurman, for that report, and we'll move on to the next report, and that's our fire department.
All right, and TJ included that report in the packet.
Okay.
Nathan's here for the last agenda, but TJ included the regular report in the packet.
I'm just doing the report right now. Okay. Doing the agenda later. Or the grant letter?
Yeah, just the regular reports right now.
As far as January was concerned, I think y'all know we were pretty busy with Park Pit. We've had a few calls assisting Health Center, Mutual Aid, and they gave us a hand in. They were already there. We were helping them, so when the Park Pit came up, it was kind of convenient to have them just follow in behind us. Abernathy, Idaloo, Rawls, Lorenzo, Lockney, Forest Service came, and Floydada, they're all our Mutual Aid. And they all showed up for the Park Pit incident. We've had the Park Pit, 2-3 mutual aids with Health Center, 2 grass fires of our own, due to the bar pit, that Jen's loader caught on fire back there, unfortunately. So we do have some new members. A couple of them were in December, but Shane Wilson, Jericho Perez, Tigris Kirk, Anna Chacharka, and Brandon Marquez is a junior firefighter. When he becomes a senior, he'll be more involved. All the trucks are good.
Now, Nathan, do are most of our volunteers, are they going through training, or will they go through training, or are
we
they
actually
trained?
Have a loaded fire conference coming up in April, and it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday event in the evening, and we encourage all of our guys to get out there and do some events with that. Okay. Mainly get comfortable with air packs and nozzles and hose, and then possibly the last day, if we can get a couple of officers there, we'll do a live fire deal with them. Okay. But I've been every year, but last year, I think.
Okay.
I just didn't have time last year, but it's a great deal. They have people from all over Texas come. So.
Okay. Any questions for Nathan?
You're still making an effort on trying to get more volunteers?
Yes, we are. All the time.
Well, actually, that's a really great increase from just last time we met.
Yeah.
Because we were down to four.
What? I don't know how many.
Some little bitty number, but I think that's great. And I do appreciate all that you guys do. I know this bar fire has really been a sacrifice for you and your families. But it certainly did save a lot of people, a lot of grief, and a lot. I mean, even the challenge to people's lives, if we hadn't been really observant as to what was going on, it could have been a whole lot worse. So I just want you to know we really do appreciate that.
I think with the mutual aid deal and getting the maintainers there and in the time and manner that it all happened, you know,
that's another
it worked.
That's another help that we get from our county,
our
precinct. And with it being here locally,
it's quick.
It's quick. And we're able to call and we're able to get them out there. And they're
able to
help.
Many times we get Mario on the phone, get Faustino on the phone, on grass fires. I mean, that thing, you can get CRP burning for miles.
The
health center one, it was about 5 miles by 6 miles.
It was about 6:15 when you came to the house, and it was covered with everybody that was already there. And so and I thought, man, everything, how long they've been at it.
I got up and could smell it, and then I looked out, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
And it didn't help for the wind to be blowing 70 miles an hour of all days.
It was awful windy.
If we have any more questions for Nathan, then we will go ahead and move on to the next report, which is our
Thank
EMS
you.
Department with Matt Carter.
Thank you, Mayor. So for the month of January, Petersburg had six total calls, three of those transports, three non-transports. Two were ALS, four were BLS, and we had one call using the variants. One of those went to Plainview. And three went to UMC. And we've got the class, we're actually on chapter 10 now, so it's moving along.
Wow.
We have about 20 chapters total. We've got a lot of skills coming up. Six people ended up being in it, and they're all Petersburg residents, so
Yay.
We're hoping to have six certified by summertime, so we're just working at that and doing the best we can do in there, so.
Speaking of fire.
So, class is going good.
Good.
We have some hiccups here and there still. I mean, but that's why we're putting in the effort that we're putting in to get more people here. I mean, that's the goal. And once we have a, it's not just a this year plan, it's a years to come plan. And, you know, we're grinding it out, trying to get it done.
We're building.
We're building. I mean, it's been a lot slower than we'd anticipated, but things come up, and so we're taking the steps needed to ensure that all of you guys have coverage for, you know, the rest of the
Well, I'd say this. We haven't had a class here since I've been here.
It's been a long time.
It's great to get it going again.
About 9 years.
That's what I would guess.
Talking to the coordinator now, and we're looking at finishing this one up and trying to have another one in August. So we want to try to put on at least two a year, of course, with everybody's approval and say so, and Ron, you know, giving me the go ahead. But
I've already talked to him, and, you know, I think August is a really good time to start one because everybody else is starting school, so.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So we're shooting
and
for
hopefully
it.
Hopefully getting some kids that are graduating mm-hmm. and,
if they stick around.
And stick around, and
we'll get them going.
Yeah.
Equipment running, everything going good, the vehicles and everything?
Yeah, it's running smooth. The ambulance room, but we have, you know, with Bay being cold sometimes, Randy's had to replace something electrical that it tripped.
Our cooling fans are giving us difficulty, and the ambulance company has been sending us parts saying, well, do you mind, go ahead and put them on. We think it's down to a compressor, but we won't know that until Nathan is actually going to charge up the compressor again. We're going to try it one more time. Otherwise, they got to come up and replace the compressor.
But as far
that's
as
on the new one.
Leaving the station and picking up, it, they're fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have any more questions for Matt? If there are no more questions, thank you, Matt,
thanks
for that report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
no library.
There's no library. Okay, there is no library report. Then moving on to E, which is our public works, with Randy Mayfield. Randy came up with a stomach bug, so he is out, but he did include his report in and then this is all the items that he has completed since the last council meeting. So they've been working on potholes this week and trying to get as many of those taken care of. I did tell him a few things, some signages that need to be maybe replaced. There's some faded stop signs.
And one on.
And then some are gone, some are bent, so he says they're going to start working on hopefully maybe replacing some of those and or taking them and get them resurfaced. Yes. Okay, then moving on to F, report F, and that's our city manager's report.
And I'll follow up on what the mayor was saying. And with March winds coming, I'm sure we're going to lose a few more. But
yes.
Well, we will get on them. Okay, on your sales tax, you're running $191 better than you were last year. So there's nothing significant happening yet. We have been told, and this goes along with the water, that the windmill project will start June 1. We have bid the water, and hopefully we'll get a good amount of water sales from it, but there's no guarantees till the contractors come in and start deciding whether they want to haul from us or from Hale Center. The water line that will feed them is part of the water line that's going up to the county barn, and to update you on that, we are going to work the line hot. We have not been able to find an isolation valve anywhere to completely shut down the line, and we're bringing in a contractor, not a large expense, and we're going to work the thing hot. The minute we can get the valve on and turned off, then we can progress to get the line in. So that should be happening any day. We're waiting for the contractor to say he can come. Of course, the weather has been very cold, and I wouldn't want to stand out there and do it in a 6-inch water line filling a hole for me. But water sales, we're running $6,000 behind so far, compared to a year ago, but I anticipate that will, if we don't get rain, that will quickly turn around. You'll see water usage really going up. During this last month, I've seen several people watering their yards already, and I've had to water mine. So, on ad valorem collection rate, we're just right in line. We're better than 2 years ago by about 10%. And down about 1% from last year, so nothing unusual there. I was just going to update you on the EMS, Matt did. As you recall, you authorized up to 10 students. We only have 6, so we're a little under budget. So we'll see when it comes August whether he can get another 4 in to push another class, then we would still be okay for that, for what we were trying to do. The police vehicles, I had the update on, and then I found out I could get the sheriff to come down and talk to you. We've talked to David about doing this every year for the next 3 years, this year and 2 more. and completely rotate out these cars, because they do very good maintenance on those vehicles, and they have a rancher down on the border that buys every vehicle they put up at auction to take down to his ranch. So it is a sacrifice for the county to say, okay, we're going to forgo that money, $8,500, $10,000, whatever it is, to help us with the vehicles. So I'm thrilled.
And hopefully, that's strictly up to the commissioners. You know, even if he wants to, we get a change, it may go back to the way it was. You know, we sell them on Lone Star. So this year we're real fortunate to do what we did, and hopefully next year we might could do that again.
Would be wonderful.
And or Public Works if we ever have any. But this made a lot of sense, because when the guy comes shooting through town, Brandon was in that particular car and it wouldn't keep up with what was going on. And so I know David is very appreciative of the help he gets from Brandon. And I will say, when I went up to visit with commissioners about the trash, we do owe him a $20 application fee. The judge told me. So he said he had put it on our account.
We'll pay that.
I hadn't heard that one.
Okay. Well, I told him we would be glad for any hand-me-downs they had.
Yeah. Sure.
We are humbled and appreciative.
Very much so. Do we have any questions for Ron based on any of the reports that he has given us? If there are no questions, then we will move on to item 6 on the agenda, and that's the consent agenda. And I'll give you about 3 or 4 minutes to kind of look it over and see if y'all have any questions. If there are no questions, and or
I got a question for Ron. Okay. On the stray dogs, it says here on the last meeting that y'all had, somebody's coming in for.
They were to that weekend. They did not, and I have lobbed several phone calls and several texts, and have not got a response. My fear is they found it difficult to get the tranquilizer guns and materials to do it. Mm-hmm.
I do think I have seen less.
Well, I've seen them hanging around also a little bit. Kind of like.
Well, we pick them up from occasion when we can get them, and they go to Plainview. But
the ones I had seen on Avenue H, I have not seen as many as there were there for a while. Now, I may just be missing when I come by. And I know that Bill had mentioned there had been quite a few of them at the bank. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen those either.
Well, if we're getting some unknown help, I'm appreciative, but I can't say it's been us.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Maybe owners are actually taking responsibility for that.
Right.
That would be nice.
Putting them up. Okay.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion has been made by Councilman Gonzalez to approve the minutes of the consent agenda, excuse me. It has been seconded by Councilwoman Marroquin. All those in favor? 5-0, motion carries. We'll move on to item 7 on the agenda, and then this is discussion action concerning modifying contract with CCC Sanitation for an increase from $185 to $250 for collection station roll-off transport, and adding new rates for construction, demolition, remodeling projects. Is that right?
It says $80,000.
$80,000, or is it $80?
$80. So it's supposed to be a period there.
Okay.
I was like, what?
Yeah, I said remodeling projects, $80 delivery fee, and increasing transport cost from $185 to $275 for these projects.
Okay, so I want to give you just a little bit of a background and remind you. In November, and I put it up on the board, November 2015, the current contract with CCC, now let me just read the book, CCC was adopted. At that time, the transport cost was set at $185 and the disposal cost to $32.94 a ton. So it depended how much weight was in each container. In November 15 of this last year, they proposed putting the roll-off transport fee at $200, and they wanted $34.44 a ton because the landfill cost had gone up. Council agreed to the $44.44, put off the $200 because it wasn't properly noticed with what they had sent us to put on the agenda. So we said, well, we'll put them back in January. It's come up now. It's in February. But now his proposal has changed from $200 on the transport cost to $250. No change in the disposal cost because you already approved that. Plus, on the remodeling projects, instead of being $185, and that's where we put a dumpster by the house, he's proposing $275 and an $80 delivery fee to put the container at the house. And that is what he is in front of you tonight for. Okay. Any questions about the history of the background? Current contract expires in November 2019. Now, I will say the proposal that the county is getting and what they're doing to help us is less than this. But that's county's money, and I can't deal with county's money. So the question I have for Mr. Coomer is, why in November were you proposing $200 transport costs, and now you've moved that up to $250 out at the collection station and $275 on a house?
I think you better ask that
question. What that is what it's costing me to operate that truck for one load, make this 80 miles to the landfill and everything that it does, the fuel, the cost to maintain it, and all the equipment requirements, and the labor, and it comes up to $265. A box, and that's the reason I went to $250. And the other problem is the damage that I'm getting on the roll-off boxes due to backhoe operators and stuff throughout the cities. It's not just anyone in particular that happens. It can happen very quickly if they rotate that bucket while it's down inside that box and just come up and hit the sides and tear them. I've got four of them still that I'm trying to repair right now. That it's egg-shaped on the sides, and I can't even put my tarp down through there. You have to have a tarp on it, and it's also a matter of the DOT. Those trucks weigh 33,000 pounds. You got about 20,000 pounds you can put on a box. That's 10 ton. Good example, we hauled one from West First over here the other day, and it had 15 tons in it. I'm looking at close to $500 to $600. If I get stopped, that thing is $600. I mean, they don't worry about it. They just, you're overweight, that's it. You're over your registered rate and everything. And pretty much, that's what it's costing me, just to operate the thing. And the other thing I have to look at is how often it's moving, how often it does it. One reason I backed it down to 250 over the cost is Petersburg hasn't used the truck that much. So I've already increased it, but all the other cities I service, every one of them gone up to 250 and 240, and depending on the distance from the landfill and everything.
Ron, I have a question for you. If we were able, because we're, I don't know whether you heard earlier, we're coordinating, the county's stepping in to help us get rid of some of this.
I'm sorry, Ron.
Okay, yeah.
You're going to have to help me a little bit.
The county is stepping in to help Petersburg get rid of some of this. And they have their own contractor hauling and bringing his containers.
Right.
If he's doing some, does it matter to you if we use him also if they've got a better price? Or?
Yeah, if they'll give you a better price whenever they start actually coming into it, I don't care.
Because I know
it's a total bid system for them.
Yeah,
with that.
And you still got all the other trash business. But yeah. I'm thinking the county may be able to strike a deal on a whole bunch of loads, and we can get a little bit cheaper if that doesn't bother you. If it doesn't bother him, what I propose is do a little amendment to say that and changing the price. I would recommend go ahead and approve his price as long as we have the option if we can work with the county to be a little bit cheaper on that.
That's fine with me. Works fine.
Okay. Simple solution.
Simple. I go for that.
So
do we need that in a motion tonight?
Yeah,
does that
I'll,
need to be done?
Yeah, I'll draft a motion. Okay. If somebody will move to approve the transport cost charge for the collection station to go to $250 from $185, no change in the disposal cost, and on the containers put in residential areas on the remodeling or demo, the transport cost will go from $185 to $275 and an $80 delivery fee. And that I, the city manager, will be directed to draft an amendment to the contract reflecting it.
I so move what Ron just said.
Okay, motion has been made by Councilman Porter to draft the amendment and to approve the agenda item.
Ron, I will say this. I hadn't done anything because I wanted to see what y'all are going to do tonight. So what I'll do tomorrow is I'll call this gentleman and I'll reconfirm the total that he gave me, and I'm going to tell him what we talked about tonight.
Okay.
As far as the numbers, my numbers, they're not concrete numbers because I knew that what y'all were going to do. So I'm going to call him tomorrow. We're going to make it work. We're going to clean up the landfill. That's just going to amount to.
Key.
So, you know, but I'll get back with you and give you all some numbers. It really doesn't matter to y'all, the numbers.
But this way we have an option.
Yes.
If we're able to work out something that's a little better, Ron doesn't matter. Otherwise, if he does it, that's your fee.
So, of course, I'll try to get the better deal, the best deal I can, and then I'll come before the council. That's why I hadn't done anything. I had just planted the seed. We took action yesterday in court to get to this point. So tomorrow I'll see what we need to do, and we'll get it done.
Based on the number of loads you probably got out at the convenience station, I've been out there a few times. You can probably get a better bid on a deal like that, because if they've got a bunch of boxes sitting there doing nothing, those kind of haulers want to get out and get it done.
Yeah. And they'll bring 10
or 15. We got a pile.
Yeah, yeah, they'll bring 10 or 15 in at a time and let you fill them, and then they'll be bringing in empties as they're hauling the others.
Right.
And it's a lot simpler to do it that way.
And when Ron and I talked, and I offered the labor, he said that he would have plenty, that City of Pittsburgh would have plenty of labor. If that becomes a problem, we may have to help. But Ron did say that they would have, the city would provide the labor if we would provide the boxes.
Okay.
Yes. All right, so the motion has been made by Councilman Porter.
I'll second it.
It has been seconded by Councilman Gonzalez. All those in favor? 5-0, motion carries.
I'd like to express to Mario how much that the council appreciates his hard work on all this. And it's one of those deals that bail us out of it. It's going to bail us out of a hole that we were couldn't hardly crawl out of. So I appreciate all the work. I think I speak for all the county.
Mm-hmm. Thank
you,
sir.
You know, really, that's what I've seen the last 24 years, how important it is to have somebody from your hometown be the county commissioner, because, you know, the other ones have lost that representation, and you can really tell it.
Really?
You know, I'm here, and this is us, and we're going to fight for Petersburg, and it's really important that we, you know, always try to have a representative from here.
I agree.
Yep. Totally.
So. I agree.
All right. Moving on to item 8 on the agenda, discussion action concerning increasing the collection station monthly fee due to high accumulation of transfer material over the last 4 years.
My recommendation, what we had to do was move it from last meeting to this. Mm-hmm. So now just let it die. No action.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I agree.
I do too.
All right, so your rates were approved.
Okay.
And I'll get an amendment. Yes.
Thank you.
I will take care of it.
All right. You should take care of it.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good evening.
Okay. You too. Thank you. All right, so then we will move on to item 9 on the agenda, and it's discussion with Margaret Adams and possible action concerning the Petersburg Economic Development Corps. And I think she was sponsored by Councilwoman Horn.
Always have plenty to say, and now I can't think of a word to say. I would like to see, I'm on the Economic Development Committee, and I don't see anything occurring there. I don't see anything occurring that's good or bad. I see nothing. I've not been attended or been invited to a meeting since I was put on the board, which was January of last year. And now the year has rolled around, so in a full year, we've accomplished nothing. My understanding was the year before that, also nothing was accomplished. Not that it needs to be accomplishing something, but I think at least we need to be having our quarterly meetings and acknowledge who's on the board. I bet you people will be unsure. I know who's on the board, but I bet people are unsure. It's not out there in front of our community either. People are like, what is that? They don't even know it exists. And I feel like that's something that should be presented. And whether we do anything with that funding or not, our community has a right to know, and at least we should be able to have meetings quarterly, if not more often, and discuss what the options are, what they're not. I'm not that familiar with all the legalities. I would like to know more, but if I'm not in front of the people who are on the board with me, then how do you know when and where to ask those questions to? And so I think, I don't know if it goes 2 years, but my understanding is it goes a year. And so now I don't know that that board still exists. I could be wrong in that. Do you know, Ron, is that a 2-year term or a 1-year term?
Yeah, I was waiting to jump in until you give a new time, and then I'll bring everybody forward.
Fill in the blanks.
Okay,
I'm ready.
And she's talking about a 1-year term, and we'll talk about that in a minute. That's for officers, not for directors. So the way this started, articles of incorporation were approved by the City Council in November 15th of 2013. I had just gotten here. You had a prior election which approved the half-cent sales tax. So I drafted the articles of incorporation. Council then directed me to file those with Secretary of State. The corporation was formed. The Articles of Incorporation set forth the initial directors. And I'm going to hand this out for everybody. This is the original group of directors. Okay, so that was...
Can I see that?
Sure. I'm sorry.
It's down here.
You were one of them. Okay, you were initially put on November 15th, 2013. The articles and the bylaws are both consistent in the following. The term of an initial, even the initial director, that was not on the City Council, it's 2 years. For those that were put on initially as directors, and they were on the City Council, their term expired when their elective office expired. Mm-hmm. So since all of the people, now we're going to start with Cynthia Porter, Margaret Adams, and Becky Champion, it's been 2 years since they were initially put on. They're off. Since all of the directors who were on the city council's terms expired, they're off. Currently, you have no board of directors.
I was correct, wasn't I?
Now, initially, what was to happen at the very first organizational meeting, the board members were to elect officers. If they did that, the officers were terms for 1 year. But under the bylaws, which control that side of it, it says that if an officer is elected and their term expires at the end of the year, nobody's been subsequently elected, they hold over. That's not true on directors. Neither the articles nor the bylaws allow a director to hold over. So even though they could have held over in their official capacity as an officer, they were eliminated when their directorship expired. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Margaret is correct in that they were to meet quarterly. They were also to submit a budget each year. They were also to have an annual meeting. And at that time is when their officers were reelected. Okay? So the board vacancies, anytime there's a vacancy in a director position, it is approved and appointed by the city council. Okay? The city council has two choices here. One is to appoint new directors, and I would suggest you do that at your next council meeting if you're going to follow that, and we properly notice that that's what you're going to do. And maybe Kayla puts it up on the marquee if anybody's interested, and you can all bring potential candidates. The other thing, the bylaw, that's one option. The other option is if you decide you don't want economic development and you want to go a different direction, you can. City Council has the power to amend, change, alter anything that PEDC is doing. I will add, though, that in conversations that I've had with Commissioner Martinez and Judge Coleman, there are two other economic development accounts that if we found a viable project, the county could step in with us and with our money and help us, which would be really good. So if you're thinking that you something might turn up where you might want to take that option, then you would appoint new directors and get the organization moving again. And if you do that, because I never received confirmation that PDC adopted the bylaws at their first organizational meeting, if you appoint new directors, I'm going to want them to reaffirm those. The bylaws that they would have adopted were approved by the City Council. City Council had to approve the form and the content of them. You did that, the council did that, and then they were to formally adopt, and I just don't know whether they did or not. I'm not on it. I wasn't on the last one. I serve to form it for, do the paperwork, and I am the registered agent, so I get any notices from the Secretary of State, and I have been annually filing the report that's due to the Secretary of State on PDC.
Does it have any money?
Should have about, I'm going to guess around 45 to 60,000.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to do a quick report. But.
Yeah. Well, the 0.5% I think was raising 14 to 15,000 a year is what we estimated in the budget, and so that's been 12. Excuse me.
Mm-mm. Collections didn't start till
14.
Yes.
Okay, 14, 15, 16, 17.
So at least 45 right now.
Yeah.
So tell me some areas. I mean, I've listened to surrounding cities and their woes and perils with economic development, some viable options that we might have.
For projects?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For example, when the rumor was going around pretty good that Alsip's was under consideration of building a new facility, And we knew, I knew they were looking at property across the street. Mm-hmm. Bad drainage problem there is currently. If you went in there and concreted or asphalted more, would have even more of a drainage problem. PEDC, for example, could look at city council and say, we recommend we go in and take care of the drainage for the company coming in, or we improve a roadway or access into the property. And that's all proper use of the money. This is a 4B Economic Development Corporation. You have a fair amount of options, believe it or not, and I know Margaret would be interested in this, you can put the money into City Park. Now, that's not what I think everybody was thinking originally. They were thinking of actually helping a business come in. But you can build side roads, you can improve sites, you can help them defer utility deposits, you can do all kinds of things to help a business come in here and get started.
I think basically it's a lot of infrastructure that you can help with, just not any brick and mortar.
Encourage people to come by offering them this opportunity.
Offering things, yeah.
And in what way is it hindered or helped to do those very things if you propose this deal where you get in with the county, this different
type of bill? Well, for example, let's
say... Still can do the same things, or it changes a little? Well,
let's say we had a $200,000 drainage project that was critical for a business to come in. And we said, well, we got $60,000, $50,000. Mario, do you have any... I'll let Mario speak to the fact that there is kind of a special little economic development fund that he's been instrumental in putting away over a number of years. Would you like to say anything?
Yes, sir. About 5 years ago, we started talking about doing the economical business park in Plainview. We had a meeting, and I told him that was fine, that you know, we're going to put county money towards that, but I was kind of tired of the rural area getting left out. So I talked to commissioners, and we formed an economic development fund for the rural areas. And I'm thinking that we have probably, I'm going to say, 80,000. So we've done it for four years. I think we put, I couldn't remember.
Let's call that Fund One, which is kind of for rural southern.
Yes, that's the way I think that's where I made the motion that we use it for the rural areas.
Is that your precinct only? No, that's for anybody.
The southern rural area. Yes.
So anybody. Yes.
So we fall in the southern rural area.
Right.
Then there's another fund, correct?
And then there's the economic development fund from Hale County. But yeah, there's two, the big fund, and then there's small, the rural fund.
So it could help us in the long run.
You know,
if we could find the right project. Now, I will say, I'm not speaking out of school here. Judge Coleman, very encouraging that if we ever had a viable, good project, please come. They want to help us, but we haven't had anybody come in that was anything that made sense, unless you were talking the RV park or
a child's play park for the community. We keep shooting that direction, and everybody keeps avoiding I'm all about it.
We discussed using some of the property that we already have in residential areas, and using it as not a huge park, but that we strategically place maybe more than one within our community. That had come up here before. And I don't remember what you called them. You had a name for it.
Pocket
parks, yes. A pocket park that we could use the property that we have acquired and build not just a park, but a place that people could go for picnics and... just to take your child somewhere. Now, that could develop into something larger. That's just what we've talked about, are those smaller ones. So Ron and I had talked about it when I first came on, and I had shared with him that where my daughter lives, they have a great park that's built there. So I went and made pictures of it. We talked about that and how it's made out of... I'm sure it would be expensive because they're... It's very weather resistant materials that would be
long
permanent.
Duration of time.
Yes, that would be permanent things that we could do. And my idea was that we even have some investment put into these places from our community, because we tend to have, if you buy into it and your name is on there, which it is at all those parks, your name's engraved on whatever you did, I think we have a better opportunity of maintaining that park and making it stay.
I think you open yourself up for a couple of things. If it was Smith Memorial Park, as an example, pick any name you want, and they made an initial contribution for that name,
mm-hmm.
and then down the road you say, you know, we really need to add this or that to it, I think the well would be there again, since it's named after their loved one or whatever. You have an opportunity, another bite at the apple as you progress down the road. That's true.
Yes, because what I had seen was, let's say we have a lot and we want to put a pocket park there, but we wanted to have everything in there to play with or to play on that is representative of fire trucks, our fire department. So maybe we put the emphasis there. I saw another one that I really thought was a great idea, and I think we have some people who would buy into that too, that everything there was musical. And the kids do all these musical things. We have a lot of talent in this community that someone might be interested in putting the name of their person on those kinds of things. I think we have options to do that. I think our mentality in the past on the playground has been just to build a big one. And that's a great idea. But what's wrong with making it multiple places where our kids have different kinds of things to do?
Well, in land development in Colorado, which I was involved in, the planners were first of the regional big parks. And then they got the concept, this doesn't make sense, because mom and the baby stroller has to come from 10 blocks away to try to get there. So they started requiring that we still spend as much as developers, but that we do it in pockets throughout the subdivision or the development. That's where the concept of I got introduced to pocket parks.
Mm-hmm.
But you take our lot on Main, mm-hmm. okay, we already have the barbecue donated. You could put up a wood fence around. You could put in irrigation and grass. You could put in a slab and a cabana over the top and have a little cooker and a piece or two of passive playground equipment. Probably get that done for $15,000. And if you can get the family to donate a family because they want to name it after one of their loved ones, great.
That was just an option for us to be able to do our money and our money go farther. By doing that kind of thing. Now, I see frown on your face, though. I don't know what part of that you don't really agree with. And I'm open to anything. I'm just making some other kinds of suggestions.
Let me just put out there. This last week when Mario and I went to the windmill supper that they had out there, one of the presentations was from the construction company that's going to come in and put in all the concrete footings for the windmills. So what they did is they made a presentation about how they come in, you know, into communities, and if they're part of the community, they help out. They've put up parks, they've put up different things, because they do get involved with whatever community they come into. So after their presentation, I went up to them and I said, I want to entice you to come to Petersburg, set your headquarters, your whatever, your offices, whatever. I said, you know, we can maybe use some of our PEDC money in that form where they could come in. Once they are here, then they get involved in the community, then they get involved with constructing a park, helping construct a park, helping construct, bring in other utilities, other things, that just not a park, but any other thing that they can. They get involved with Boy Scouts. They get involved with the school. They get involved with whatever they want to come. The community needs. And so he was willing to come and sit down with the council, with Ron, the commissioner, and see what we could offer them. So I think the company's name was Wansick.
Yeah, Michael Binder.
Michael Binder. Mm-hmm. And he said in April, because they're going to start construction, they're going to start those piers and start working on the engineering part of those in June. So around April, they're going to come looking for places to, for housing, places to park their trucks and things like that. So in April, he was going to hopefully, you know, make a stop around here and see what we have to offer. So instead of putting in all our PEVC money into one, you know, project, why don't we utilize somebody that can bring
what
us
they have.
What they have.
Now, I think you cut it back to PEVC to the agenda. I want you to, I can't say it often enough, that whatever PEVC Board of Directors votes to do, you have to approve it. It has to come back to City Council for approval. So they can't spend $10 without you approving. If they ended up having an annual budget, it would be incorporated in our budget adoption process, and you would have to approve it. So you've got total control over what's going on.
But then we would have help with opportunities for a company like this to participate in.
Atmos Energy is another one. When I've talked to them in the past, will a lot of times come in and help finance a park in a community. But you have to get into their grant cycle process and submit what you're looking for. Now, I know what the girls have been working on is, and I don't know how much money you've already accumulated, but it's pretty...
$16,000
already, is that they're looking for matches. They're looking for matches from the playground equipment people. They're looking for matches from the city or other donors. We have land cornered here now because the council's allowed me to pick up a couple things to where the larger area could be here, more centrally located. The lots we have, you would never be able to put on what they're talking about in playground equipment. It'd have to do that. But it could be a little bit of both, and you never know whether somebody wants to step forward in a huge match for the larger park to be named after.
So what do we have to do to get the EDC back on track? I've seen the EDC in Dumas, where I used to live. They have done a lot of good work. They brought the college in from Amarillo to help out. They paid for stuff to get this done.
Why
so why don't what like do we have to do to get the EDC back on track?
I feel like
to
there's
do things?
An opportunity, but it's sitting here dormant. Yeah. And I think I really don't want to see it dissolved.
No.
I already mentioned
no, I
there's
don't
another
think
option there. That's
I don't think it
saying.
Needs to be dissolved.
No,
I think
so
you
either,
need to have a board of directors or people do it other than what the city council can do.
And the
I mean, they're out there doing this. So,
sorry.
Go ahead.
The reason I brought that up was the history is you had an election where you approved 2 half-cent sales taxes. You approved roads and you approved PEDC. Jeff didn't realize that put you over the limit of sales tax. So then the council had to make a decision. Do you keep PEDC alive or the road? And it kept PEDC alive. I'm sure at some point down the road you could shut it down and convert it back to two roads, but I don't know what the process, I haven't done the research on it. But if you're wanting to keep it viable, which is what I'm hearing, then we simply need to put an agenda item up next council meeting for you to appoint the new board of directors. They then must have their initial meeting, elect their officers, and they're off and running. Okay? So if you would like, we'll have Caleb put a notice up on the marquee. If you're interested in serving on Petersburg Economic Development, please come in to City Hall. We'll take their names, have them for you, anything you guys can come up with, and then you will appoint 7 directors next meeting.
I would like to be sure that what we do, that we encourage what these girls have done. That's a lot of work.
They have done a lot of work.
But made just bits and pieces at a time.
And I think it's really important that we back them up. And I'm not saying that we don't by doing these other things. I just want us to be, I want us to have some things to present to someone who comes. Here's what we've thought about. Here's what we have. Because right now we have nothing.
And we do have the land cornered in two places. We have this and we have community center. I like, it's just personal, I like this site much better because we could get bathrooms and full water facilities here. And if there's an event going on at the plaza,
it's there.
It's there.
You know, the EDC
is right here.
EDC and Dumas brought businesses in. I mean, they look at people, they encourage people to come and talk to them there to put in the business. I have seen it and read about it. So I think, you know, EDC, I know we're not big, but doesn't mean we can't do nothing. To improve this town.
We're it's looking doable. For members.
It's doing this. I mean, you know, it's just doing
members. I'm just saying. Right? I mean, right?
I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, I've seen what they can do in Dumas or in Amarillo. I mean, it's a big scale.
Right.
We're small, but.
Well, I don't think that really matters. You know,
small
it's just
don't mean
that the effort's there to kick it in gear and let's get something done.
That's right.
Because we've sat here.
So, talked about it, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah. And we can chase that rabbit in and
we
out
do
of
whatever.
Every time.
Forever. Can we just do that?
So you don't need to take any action. We'll just put it on the agenda for
next meeting
to appoint new directors and get it
up. And then we'll let them.
Along that line, four of the directors maybe, not must be, maybe members of the city council. Three, not. Okay? You can have three non-members.
So can it be like two can be and the rest can't?
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Maybe.
Well, you said four maybe, and I thought it doesn't have to be four. Like,
correct.
It could be one.
It's not shall be, it's
okay.
Maybe.
Okay. Up to four. Okay, gotcha.
Up to.
And if you have four that are from city council, then three must not
be.
Okay. Let's go for it.
I think that's a good idea.
Let's do it.
All right. There's no action to take on this, so we will
put it on the next agenda.
We'll put
one
it
year
on the
two
next
year.
I do have a few members.
Non-council. I'm sorry. Non-council members are two-year terms.
Okay.
Council members, it coincides with the term of council.
Okay.
I do have something that was given to us. It was dated January 11th of 2016, and this is the fund balance was $31,085, and that was January 11th of 2016.
Okay. I have to ask the auditors. They keep track of it. And the way this works, the city collects the money. The accountant set up a notes payable to PDC, so we've accounted for it, that no funds are handed to PDC. You have to approve all funds here anyway. And if they did have a bank account and the money was there, you'd have to have everybody bonded. You don't want to go there. Money stays right here, and then you have to approve it. Even if they voted to spend $10,000 on something, you've got to come to council, you've got to agree.
All right, so then moving on to item 10 on the agenda, and this is discussion action concerning adoption of Ordinance 349-SM, which adds an automatic dating provision of previous adopted Ordinance 348-SM, and that also includes requirements of foundation piers, pads, tie-downs, skirting, illuminated address markers, provisions providing for inspection and enforcement of the provisions of the ordinance, provisions providing for due process notices, hearings and appeals, provisions defining nuisances and related to the violation of the provisions of the ordinance, and making the provisions of this ordinance applicable to mobile homes regardless of where they are located within the city of Petersburg.
I know that's lengthy, but that's adequate notice for what we have. All right, so if you remember at the last council meeting, we adopted an ordinance and we set forth, for example, date of June 15th, 2000, the mobile home had to be that year or newer before it could come in. And one of the things discussed was, it's like any other date you've got in your ordinance book. If you don't go back to it every year, it lapses. So one of the things in the new ordinance I brought you, which is really an amending ordinance, is that date will be increased by 1 year over January 1st. So that happens. It requires concrete pads under each wheel of the mobile home. And that's to provide stability to it. It requires a pier at each corner. The pier is 8 inches round, 3 feet deep, has an eyelet in it. Then it requires that they hook from that eyelet to the frame of the mobile home. That way they're not blowing over in the wind. It requires that the pad be sloped in such a way that drainage goes away from underneath. It requires a concrete footing around the mobile home to support the skirting. And it requires skirting to be on the mobile home with adequate vents to allow proper airflow underneath. It requires an illuminated address marker. The police go out here at night. They try to look. They can't ever find an address on a mobile home. It's got to be lit up so they can see it. It applies to the mobile home no matter where it's located in town. Whether it's in an RV park, whether it's on an individual lot, commercial lot, it doesn't matter. It sets up a mechanism to where if a person is in violation, that we provide them notice. They have so long to cure. They're told what they got to do to cure. If they don't, then they're cited and as a nuisance, and they appear in front of the judge. It gives us the right to go in and abate the nuisance, meaning drag the thing off if we needed to. It gives several of us inspection rights to inspect it before it's put in or inspect it at any time that we think it's not conforming with what the requirements are. Sets up penalties for violation of the ordinance depending on what it is. It's anywhere from $500 to $2,000 for violating the ordinance. And I made it as inclusive as I could for you.
Let me ask you a question. You're talking about each corner?
Mm-hmm. All four.
All four corners. How about on double wide?
It'd be all four corners.
Yeah, but the double wides are put together.
Right. I'm sure in the middle there would be.
They need one in the middle on double wide?
Normally is going to happen.
Let
me give you an example. What's normally going to happen is somebody's going to bring in a double wide. They got a lender. The lender requires all the tie down. It's all set by the mortgage people as to what it's going to be.
Okay.
But I was trying to address like the situation we just had.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. The reason I was asking, I had a double wide. I lived in Amarillo, and I had pads on everything, and I had it chained down.
Yeah.
It wasn't going nowhere. It looked like home.
Does anybody have any comments or anything? Is it satisfactory with what was just mentioned?
I love it.
I think it's good. I think that's what we were looking for.
I think it's good. Really good.
And these are the ones for the... They're going to bring some new ones in, right? New turtle homes.
Anybody. This day forward.
Okay.
From publication date forward.
Right, publication.
Would be correct.
Yes.
This gives us something to go by.
Yes. So the ones I've seen. They're exempt. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We can't make a law retroactive.
Right. I understand. Yeah. Okay.
So I would ask for your approval of the ordinance.
Ordinance 349-SM or the
349-348?
349-SM. Okay. I move that we adopt Ordinance 349-SM.
Motion has been made by Councilman Porter to adopt Ordinance 349-SM as stated.
I'll second that.
And it has been seconded by Councilman Mullinax. All those in favor? 5-0. Motion carries. Moving on to item 11, and this is discussion action with Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department concerning tanker grant. And if Nathan hasn't fallen asleep, you're on, Mr. Nathan.
Wait, sorry.
That was a lot of, I don't know
all of y'all talk about stuff.
The one thing the fire department will be interested in is new mobile home structures brought in will have an illuminated address.
Brandon will like that.
Yes. EMS, fire.
I'll just look at it with you. That's all right.
There you go.
No
problem. All right. Since there was a lot of money talk going on tonight, I figured I'd come in at the very end and do some money talking. We got approved for a $200,000 grant from the state, from the Forest Service. So it's just like we've done a grant with you before. It's a 90-10. We have to match 10%, $200,000 or $20,000. We are looking to go other places other than just with coming to y'all. We'd like to go to the county and talk to the county. If you look at one of the pages, it shows a grant history of what we've done in the past and who we've come to and asked for help with. And the county has helped with when it comes to the sizable amounts for brush trucks and skid units. They've helped with the sizable amounts. But in this circumstance, with the truck that we're looking to get, it comes out to like $235,000, and what we're asking for is $25,000, and they'll put the $200,000. I'm going to go to Wiley's and see if they'll put a donation, simply because the truck that we're looking at is a 2,500-gallon. I have a deal if you want to look at it. It'll serve the purpose of a brush truck and a city engine. You want to look at it, pass it around. So it won't just serve the city. It'll serve the county. It'll serve Wiley's. I mean, it has a lot more capability. It's more reliable. The truck's brand new. I can't pass up on that. We did get an engine from Plainview a couple years ago, but that was their backup engine. And I've been pushing this issue with TJ for a few years now. I'm in charge of truck maintenance, and it gets hard to keep up with a 1973 Mack. We do have a tanker that we were donated from Idley, and it's a good truck. We got it up and running this weekend. It's been sitting for about 4 years, just had issues with it, and haven't had the time or the funding to get it going. But we got a donation from the gym after the burger fire deal, and we used that just for getting trucks up and going and kind of getting caught up on what we were behind on maintenance-wise, battery-wise. So we are caught up. The tanker's up and running. I've got it down at the gym. We're going to start this weekend mounting a pump in it. We already have the pump. We have the plumbing. I don't have any money I need to spend on that tanker to get it going and put it in service. Our Mack engine that we got from Plainview, it is a good running truck. We've used it, pumped with it for training. It's a good truck. That being said, it was Plainview's backup truck. That was their backup engine. So when it comes to reliability, I'd rather put my faith in a brand new truck.
Oh, yeah.
And use that Mack as our backup engine. So really what I'm coming to y'all and, you know, see if y'all can haggle around it. I know I've never come to y'all for a grant or helping with something like this before. TJ was working tonight, so he asked me to come in. So I'm really just coming and kind of laying it all out there, and the paperwork is there. We have gotten a couple of donations, the Baptist Church, and we had another church donate also. And I believe from what TJ was saying, we're going to try to just put that towards that $25,000 we're trying to get to be able to match.
Nathan, I have a question on that.
Yes.
On the highlighted line, it says to receive the full $200,000, you have to spend $222,000
right.
Purchase an apparatus. I don't understand what you're talking
about. All right, and the $200,000 is coming from the grant, so we actually need $22,000.
I thought you just said 90%.
That's their match. What they're matching,
not to exceed $200,000.
Correct. And reason being, I'm asking for 25 instead of 22, as if I happen to, you can build this truck however you want. You can add something on there. It's a standard built truck. I'm looking to take a couple of things off that we don't need and add a couple of things that we do need for an engine, for it to be capable for us in town as an engine. I don't need the stock tank that's on there. But to take it off and have them modify where that tank goes, I've got the tank on a Mac, on the big tanker we have, so I don't need another one. But to have them modify this one by taking that off and making a ladder rack and another compartment, it's going to cost a little bit extra.
All right. So what you're doing is working backwards on the 10%. Saying to get the $200,000, if I want to grow for it all, I got to spend $222,000.
Correct.
90% of that is $19,980, so that's
right.
Where you're at.
Right. And I'm trying to leave a little bit of leeway in there because I'm going to change a little bit of things here and there. It's a standard-built truck. That's not the only company that we're looking at. There's a couple other companies that we're trying to work with. This was just the first one to call and say, hey, this truck's $235,000, and we'll do it for cheaper than that if you buy it from us.
How long do you have, Nathan?
I'm not 100% sure. We're trying to get everything done by April because as soon as you call them and tell them it's in motion and you're ready to sign a check, they'll deliver the truck.
So they don't have they're not dangling this $200,000.
As of right now, no.
With a certain time limit on it.
Not right now.
Okay, and I've got to do all the forced work signatures, so
yes,
make sure TJ understands that. Okay, question. This is for our commissioner. Do you take this out in the county and fight fires and grass?
Absolutely. That was the number one reason we were looking. I love them. I'm like a little kid looking at fire truck pamphlets ever since TJ told me we got the grant. You can ask Kayla. I've been flumming through on looking at trucks. But I'm looking at the capability and not. You've seen what we're working with out in the county. That's a pump and roll truck. That means I can turn the pump on from in the cab. It has a remote nozzle in the front of it, so one guy can operate the truck. Still holds 2,500 gallons, so if I need to use it as a tanker, I can. But also in town, it's a full pumping truck. I can hook it up to a hydrant, I can tie it into my other engine, and it's a full operating truck in town or out of town. So,
I will say this one. I know the different volunteer fire departments within the county rotate. I don't know how long it's been since we've helped Petersburg, but I know every year we put money into that fund, the Rural Fire Protection Fund. I know there's money in there. I don't know how long it's been, where y'all are at in the rotation, but
we can find out.
The last one was 2010. We got that truck donated from the Forest Service, the base, and y'all helped. We put the skid unit on it. So
the point would be, you don't have it in your budget. We don't have $20,000 slack. So it would be if the council would authorize Representative City, me, Nathan, Fire Department, I don't care, to approach the county to see if we might find some additional assistance for the grant portion, for our portion of the grant.
Right.
And what about...
That's what you're looking for, as quick as we can get a commitment, because then he can make the commitment to him, we can match. But
right. I also heard rumor today, Idaloo got the same grant, the same exact grant, so they're going to be looking at a truck. Kind of the same, and they actually have one just like this.
But they're not in our county.
No.
Yeah.
But when it comes to something like this, it's a mass-produced truck. It's like going to the Chevy house and buying a pickup. You know, they build them all day, every day. Just because you're buying one or not going to buy one doesn't mean they're not going to build it.
Right.
So, in my mind, I mean, I'm not pushing a time frame on it. You know, I want to have it done by now. I'm bringing it to you now so y'all can do what you have to do. The sooner I get it approved, the sooner I can call and say, hey, it's approved. This is how we want it. This is what we want. And the sooner we get the truck to us.
Commissioner, is it going to be better if TJ and Nathan come make a presentation to the commissioners, you think, or...
I think I need to go back and look at the rotation of where everybody's, how they've come around, you know, because I'm sitting here, you know, we've approved the landfill, we've put in a pickup, you know, you can only squeeze so much blood out. If it's part of the rotation, it's just part of business, and we put that money in every time we meet for budget. Like I said, it's a Rural Fire Protection Fund that we have. I hadn't seen these guys come through a while, and it's probably pretty close for them.
See, I can't think of anything since I've been here that we've gotten in the way of.
On that sheet, y'all have a copy of it. 2010 was the last time we actually went to the county and asked for a separate, and y'all, I believe from what I talked to TJ about, y'all footed the complete amount for that one, the 2010 slip-on unit.
Yeah, we've never turned it down. We help somebody during the every year.
I mean, so it's been 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Do we have anything that we can get rid of that we don't need no more that's not working?
I'd
that we can set up, you know, just for auction. We'll just talk,
I would love to make more room in my station for me. I do have a couple that there's the one that's sitting behind that double five. I just said I saw it. I hate trying to work on a truck. I do have a pickup in the back that we put inside.
Well, whatever we can generate.
We've got the old converted, what do you want to call that?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah. That, and actually, I drug that down to station two for the non-block. So.
Well, we'll talk the next day or two, Commissioner, and see what you can tell us.
And then is this going to be brought up to the community some way? Is it going to be spread out where community you could get community help?
Yeah.
Farmers and different people, is there a way to do that?
First for me, actually, you know, presenting it and dealing. Then before, I was just a firefighter and took care of maintenance, and then I went to captain and took care of maintenance, and now TJ's kind of like, oh, you got to do more. So this is actually my first deal. I don't know if it's a good idea to get it out and look for donations more.
Well, I think with what we've just had happen.
Yeah.
They'd be more apt to.
Yes.
Well, then the wind's fixing to start blowing. If you don't get any more rain,
you know,
it'll get
how
worse.
We were notified officially that, you know, because you're acting like the grant was approved.
An email.
Can you forward it to me?
I can have TJ.
Yes. I want to make sure what we're
okay.
And at delivery on these, once you actually do that, how long is that?
We'd have to, once we actually pick a company that we want to go with, we'd have to get with them on that. I wouldn't think it would be too long. I mean, like I said, they build these trucks every day.
Okay.
Not just specifically when you buy it.
I just think, too, after what has just recently happened with the possibility of some of our rural homes burning, and that was a very big possibility that day, we have some really good ground to build off of for some contributions to be made, too.
Understood.
You guys who do everything for nothing. You know, you give it, and you give hours of your time, and I just think we could feed off that.
One more question. Is this grant, is it for a brand new, do we have to go and get a brand new truck, or is it just, you know?
I'm not 100% sure on how that works, if we have to go with a brand new truck, because that was something else that I talked to with one of the other guys on the apartment, if we could, and I've seen some really nice trucks for $50,000, and then you could use the rest of that towards, you know, another skid unit for one of our other trucks, or upgrading one of our other trucks, or possibly get two trucks.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure how that works.
I mean, I'm not saying that they're saying, I mean, excuse me, but there's nothing tying this 200 to say you have to buy a 2017 or 2018 truck.
No.
You know, we could buy maybe a 2015 or something like that, or, you know, something that's...
Correct.
And then have maybe at a less amount, and then use part of that.
Part of, and see, I know just going over some paperwork, when you do this, as we talked about, I've been asking for some nozzles for one of our trucks for a while. And they're really expensive nozzles. And one nozzle can be anywhere from $600 to $1,200. So that's just, with that of our means, I'd rather spend money on something else. And that was TJ's thinking, too. When it comes to the grant for a tanker, specifically for that tanker, the state says, yes, you're approved for this for a tanker. So we could add more things onto the truck, and then it'll get inspected once it's delivered. It has to be inspected by the Forest Service. They inspect all our trucks. And then, so when they inspect it, everything that's on that build sheet has to be on that truck.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's inspected, you can then take the nozzles off and put them on the truck that you wanted them on originally.
Right.
Because they were just spare nozzles on the inspected truck.
So then you don't necessarily have to spend the $200,000.
No, not on a 2018.
So then if we spent, say, $100,000 or $150,000, And so our matching contribution would be less than
that. Well, and I see kind of where you're going. The grant is for $200,000, so we really do have to spend the $200,000.
Okay.
But that's when we don't have to spend the $200,000 on a truck.
We
can add things to the truck, and it's still going to be on that grant. You know, hose reels, or whether it be Wildland packs, Wildland gear in that form, nozzles, hose, air packs. We can.
So
we
our
can 10%
is still ours.
Right. Do you have a timeline to spend that, or can you let it carry over?
You can't. I know you can't let it carry over.
You can't let it carry over, like say.
I don't know what the timeline is to have this, an email sent back or let somebody know.
Okay.
Yes,
that's
but.
And I would suppose that in the last big fire that we had, you recognized some other additions to that that you probably
absolutely
would want to add that you hadn't even thought of before.
We've already done some modifications because of that night, and you know we were out helping health center and come back and do that. We noticed some different things, and that also kind of lit a fire for us to get the tanker up and running and plumbed, because I think it's going to be a really dry summer. That was the number one thing whenever we asked for mutual aid. We're always asking for water. Manpower has been an issue, but really water has been more of an issue. Water on scene, you know, you go out, whether it be 15 miles from town or in that circumstance, a mile and a half from town, your truck runs out of water, you're still having to kill that much more time going to a hydrant.
Right.
And there's a hydrant right there on the end of town, but that would have killed a lot more time versus me calling in tankers to come sit on the side of the county road or sit on the side of the paved road. And it did open, you know, a lot of different opportunities and different things that we saw we needed to do a little bit different within the department and within trucks and how we operate them, kind of maintain them. So,
okay, and I know you probably don't know this answer, but all money for the fire department comes through City Hall, and we account for it here. All donations come here. There are two checks you have listed, and you're saying you haven't got them?
I don't think I have them.
Okay. Please know that CP needs to get the donations over.
Yes, sir.
The next question in here was along the lines of, we had donation money build up, and we cross between one budget year and the next budget year. Could that still be allocated and accounted for? And yes, we have a way to do that. It's just that we budget it up the next year, and we say we're bringing it back out of reserves. So we can do that.
Okay.
That's your kid.
Well, I think they ought to have the best equipment they have for safety purposes. I really do. I mean, whatever it takes to get this stuff so they don't get burned up out there in the middle of nowhere.
I don't see where there's any action per se to be taken.
I don't think there's any action per se that needs to be taken at this time until we get a little bit more information on the tanker and on the grant, I guess, once Chief Marcus forwards that email, that way we can kind of...
And any grant materials.
Right, and that way you can see the stipulation of and kind of what's going on there.
So, if there are not any more questions for Nathan or for anyone else, it is
8:28,
and I adjourn this meeting.